As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah! Well, hi, and welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he's been a comedy monster his whole life, keeping Florida cool for the nerds. He's best defined as chaotic neutral. He's your friend, Siege. Hey, buddy.
Coming to you live from the uncut tip of America's floppy penis.
Hey, look at you. We're off to a great start.
Yes.
Brandon is busy, at a luau or something like that, or, looking at a pig on a spit as he's in Hawaii for a couple weeks. And Siege was nice enough to join us. Now, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, and maybe even be cool and tell us what we get right. Ooh. Also, if you could tell a friend, write a review if you're listening to this on demand, like, say, on Apple Podcasts, or you could just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question. No, we're not doing that anymore. I forgot to delete that. Or you can just holler at us just to be cool and give Siege a follow just for the hell of it. All right. We'll put all that out. You can go to full90podcast.com for more. Now, we've been trying something new on the... No, it's not Full 90 Podcast. That's my other podcast. It's nerdtalkplus.com. That's what I want. Okay, this is going great.
Yeah.
We've been trying something new in lieu of question of the week. We've been having fun trying to come up with tattoo ideas for every story. And I think we'll continue that today. And there's no better person to help with that than the guy with the cool S or Stussy tattoo. Yeah, there it is. He's holding it up. That forearm. That's prime real estate. And he just gave it right over to a 90s icon.
That's the only guy that's sitting there.
All right. Well, we are in... this week has been dominated by headlines about this dork Elon Musk and this whole mess that he's made of Twitter. And I'm curious to get into what you make of that. He acquired Twitter to provide free speech for everyone and then immediately follow that up by enforcing a long-existing rule that you can't impersonate somebody to their detriment because everyone was doing that about him and just making... I mean, that's just a comedian's like sweet spot to be able to get in there and do it. He's being quite a bit of a dildo baby. And, well, he silenced their free speech by banning a lot of them. He's suspending people, and he's firing his whole staff. And someone just tweeted at me moments ago that the Wall Street is helping bring that back down to earth by tanking it and making his investment become way worse of an idea at the time.
Good.
How do you feel about the Twitter mess? Do you care at all? Has it affected your all caps lock all the time?
No, actually, you know what? I think it's like he's kind of shooting himself in the foot, if you ask me about it, because like the people who are verified are the people who bring people to Twitter. Like just being able to reach out to the famous people yourself and have like one-on-one contact with them. and then he wants to go and charge them, what's going to happen is the people who are verified don't care about that blue check mark and would probably like to be left alone. And then you're going to have, like, you know, any old, like, Steve or Hillbilly Jim, like, getting their own thing verified. So all of a sudden, you're starting with the misinformation stuff again, which is exactly what Twitter was trying to eliminate in the first place.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And for me, it's like, charge $1,000 a month for a verification, so that way people who really feel the need to have one, $8 is the price point, means that really anyone that could, like, someone could make the choice between being an misinformation source or having Netflix and per month. And it, like, it just opens up the world to the thing that he's saying that he wants to get rid of most.
Absolutely. Anybody who has the blue check mark really doesn't care about it. I mean, they're the quote unquote influencers that people are going to follow. And $8 a month is, like, they don't care about that. Now, for, like, me, as, like, you know, local comedian.
Very influential.
Yeah, right? as a local person of interest, a blue check mark, $8 a month is not worth it to me.
No people way.
People are going to follow me whether they want to or not.
So, like, from my perspective, I'm a check mark person, and so, like, yeah. But I'm not important, like, the same way that, like, the, I don't know, like, what's called it, the NPR is important, or someone that's out there on the front lines, like, getting shot at, that needs to be able to get through to sources, or to be like, there's a reason I'm verified and I have this thing, it's because what I'm doing is earned and valid. For yes. me, it's like, if I tweeted a band or something like that, they'll respond better than they ever did before, because they see that I'm a verified person within their own industry, and they understand how that could potentially benefit them, or how I could help spread what they're doing. And so, like, there's a little bit of reason to give it to me, but also I would never pay $8 a month for it. Get out of here.
Exactly. It's not that beneficial for you overall in the grand scheme of things. It will help you with your job. It helps you with, you know, a news organization or anything like that. The people who really need to have the good information, like, that's the stuff. Like, that's the only people who really need the blue check mark. It's like, verify the truth tellers. Don't verify just, you know, I mean, yeah, great. I'm freaking Siege. So what? Nobody cares. And I don't need to spend $8 a month on anybody caring about Siege.
Cape Ferrari cares. Alligator Ferrari. Handler to the stars.
Oh, yes. Please bring me the alligators, Cabe. I miss you.
Anyway, I think the whole thing is dumb, and I think that it's a distraction from something else. I think that he's like, I mean, he's probably spiraling. That's probably, you
I mean,
know,
just the fact that he spent $44 billion on something that probably, I mean, first off, probably could have been had for 10. and then on top of that, it's just like he's firing people left and right, laying off people left and right. I just read an article probably about 10 minutes ago that said that he was begging people to come back that were just laid off, because he didn't realize that those people were the people who knew how to implement all the changes that he was trying to make. So
he's one of these donkeys that, like, he'll do something crazy, right? And then he'll replace everyone and he'll ride it out for a year or two while the aftermath happens. And then I think it'll be okay by his standards in the end. It's probably he just makes huge slashes all at once or whatever it is, and then turns it around and ends up with, like, the rebuilding process has to be quick and demanding, but then he'll end up with a product that works again. It's just, I don't know if anyone's going to want to be around to use it, is the thing.
It's
but
like,
anyway, this guy sucks. Like,
it's like, will he end up with a product that still works? And it's kind of disappointing to think that, you know, Twitter, for as much absolute chaos as it's caused, it's brought a lot of people together. I mean, for instance,
like,
you and I were first introduced.
I mean, where would they go?
Yeah. You and I were first introduced on Twitter. Think about it. I'm in Miami, and a lot of my best friends are in Seattle, and that is because of Twitter.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, if that crashes, that's just going to be a terrible thing. I don't want it to go the way of Facebook and just be like old people wandering around spouting off, you know, hate for the government.
Or for other people of other colors than them.
Yes,
That's where we're at, everybody. I want to get all the humans off there and just let it be bots and see what happens. I think that'd be fun.
That would honestly be more fun. I honestly thought for the first couple of years that I was on Twitter, I followed more bots just for, like, the daily or hourly updates of weird things. Like, I love seeing the pictures of river otters just showing up. Like, I mean, that Otterbot was one of my favorite ones that actually turned,
rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Siege with the phone not turned off.
Otterbots was one of my favorite ones. It actually used to turn otters into Transformers, and I loved that.
Yeah, see, now we're talking. That's the, it's the problem with all of this is that as people figure out how to monetize it or how to like make it evil or make it move the needle for somebody, is that the magic that is the internet, which is the crusty creeps doing awesome stuff, or like the wildly creative doing awesome stuff, that all falls by the wayside as the like machine plows through or whatever. Yeah, so Otterbots is hilarious, and that's what I want, is stoned people to be like, I'm gonna make a script, I know how to write it, that's gonna just transform otters into robots. Okay, cool.
And that's where honestly like TikTok and Instagram have like nailed it, where Elon's Twitter is missing the point. It's like they pay their creators to do more.
Yeah.
They pay them per post because they're drawing more people to the thing. And now he's trying to make, you know, the creatives and everybody else push him away.
Wish I could get some of that TikTok creator fund. I know it's not a lot, but man, that would be sweet.
Listen, man, a nice little 6 cent deposit every once in a while would just make me smile.
I made one of those. Now I have a kid. Animals as legit snuggle therapy is a real thing, apparently. College campuses often use animal-assisted interventions, they call it, to help bring stress down in students during midterms or, like, finals or something. Like, you pet a dog, you feel better. Story checks out, I get it. A professor at Washington State University added kitty cats to the practice and found that some people were just as eager to get in on that. Those people were not me, because I'm allergic to cats, although I do love them. They launched a study in Belgium. For some reason, someone else wanted to study it. And from inverse.com, brain scans show that being around cats activates the prefrontal cortex of cat owners, and being around their pets is shown to have a calming effect. Cats can provide fulfilling emotional support and can alleviate negative moods, so much so that they are comparable to a human partner, which also explains why my wife spends so much time with our cat and not me. And then they pee on expensive jeans you left on the floor, peanut.
I mean, that's kind of
like, literally just happened. My kid left jeans on the floor and the cat peed on them. So, but it balances out, though.
I mean, occasionally your
cat. Where are you? I know you're a pro gator, but where are you at with kitty cats?
Listen, I love all the animals, especially all the fluffy ones. I am allergic to the kitty cats as well. I would have 10 of them if I could. I would be an old cat person. I am definitely a dog guy more so, but I mean, I could
taste better.
I would absolutely agree that any one of those would just like make you feel better. I mean, during the day, I work as a delivery person to subsidize my comedy career. And when I go to a place that's got a dog, I will totally ignore the person that I'm actually delivering to and play with the dog every single time.
I find this hard to believe, but there's many TikTok accounts of drivers just recording the interactions that they have with these dogs that come running up, and I watch every single one of them and love it. Chef reactions and delivery guy talking to dogs.
Those are two of my favorites as well. I actually used to do that on Instagram way in the beginning before they could do videos. I would just take pictures, but I had an old phone and I would fill it up with dogs like crazy, and it didn't matter where I was. If I was on vacation, I was on the subway in New York, I'm taking pictures of everybody's dogs and their backpacks. Yeah, I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to animals. I know every single name of every dog that I meet, but I will never know their parents' name.
Like, you know where the dog is, what corner and everything.
Exactly.
But like who's at this address? Never know.
It's like,
it's pretty weird. Like, I love my UPS guy, and he might be like some wacko militia guy for all I know. He looks like a crazy man, but I mean, I'm talking to you, and like, I feel like you've got quite the image about you, right? The Florida man.
Pretty much.
Also, listen to the Florida Man Murders podcast starring Siege and two other dudes out now on your podcast provider of choice.
Yes, sir.
But like, yeah, I like look forward to seeing that guy. He's super cool, and I like we have a very base relationship and everything, and he never gets to see my dog because she's crazy and would fly out of the house and tackle him and everything.
Of course.
Like, yeah, I imagine that that's got to be like a perk. It's not just seeing my dumb ass, but being able to see like a sweet little animal or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man. The real perks, the only people that I generally want to meet are the old ladies who are giving me a bottle of water or like, you know, they have like fresh baked cookies or whatever. And then you've got everybody, you've got the people with their dogs and their animals and anybody jumping out. Like, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, there must be some characters, too. But so to the point of this, like, I guess I'm not at all surprised because cats get a bad rap to me, I think, of being aloof and uninterested. And it's just like, sure, they behave how they want to behave, but they don't necessarily... It's not that they don't want attention or they don't provide something positive if you have an interaction with them. You just have to find the right cat that wants to be social to make this study work out, I think. The study does indicate that it's largely women that are the ones that respond positively to kitty cats or that are more interested in the cats than the dogs. But yeah, just cool. I don't know. Like as we look to like the cat cafes that you see.
The old trope in comedy is that, you know, cats are women and dogs are men. And that's just the way it is.
Right?
It's just a matter of the way that they go for attention. Dogs will just run right up and be all goofy in front of you and just like dance around and wag their tongues and everything. They want the attention immediately. Look at me. I love me. Love me. I love you back. And cats will just kind of walk away, look at you from a distance, keep an eye on you, maybe show you their butt. And then that's about it. It's up to you to come to them. And then when you come to them, they walk away again. And then when they finally want to show you love, they will come to you and lay on your lap.
At 4 a.m.
Yes. And claw your face when they're hungry.
Yeah, you know, the cat cafe is a thing. Like, it's, and not just in Japan or whatever. Like, in Seattle, there's several of them, like, where you can go and have a cup of coffee and pet a cat. You got to book time and stuff like that because they don't want the cats to be overwhelmed. But, like, you get some, like, there's this old bookstore that I used to go to called Twice Told Tales, and there was, oh, it's a resale bookstore and there was cats all over the place.
That's incredible. I've seen some of the cat coffee shops. There's actually a dog cafe down here in Miami that we've actually done some comedy stand-up stuff at, and not really knowing what the thing was at first, we pretty much all wrote jokes for the dogs as opposed to for the people there with their dogs. But yeah, it's really fun, man. It's crazy. It's becoming a big thing.
And like, owning animals is such a pain in the ass that it's like way nicer to be able to just play with someone else. Not that I don't like our animals, but like,
yeah,
it's just tough.
I don't want to walk them. I don't want to take them out, and I definitely don't want to pick up their poop.
Oh, the cat box is so gross.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. in. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So the gears are in motion to add a new safety feature to all new cars in the coming years, an alcohol impairment detection system. I don't necessarily like that. What do you call it when you have the letters in a row for, like, you know, if you say, like, the FBI is the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, yeah, DUI, DWI.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, alcohol impairment detection system spells AIDS, so that's...
Oh, that's no good.
AIDS could soon be added, an added smart feature when you get behind the wheel. Rather than blowing into a straw for a prize, the NTSB is looking into adding a sensor in the start button or steering wheel to test your body sweat for booze.
Ugh.
On the plus side, you should keep robots from stealing your car that way, unless they, like, Luke Skywalker your hand off and keep it alive in some weird jar full of blue liquid or whatever. It does seem unavoidable, actually, now that I say that all out loud. But, yeah, the built-in system to keep you from driving drunk. I feel like Florida will never adopt that.
I mean, I can assure you that the roads will be empty here.
You said something to me while I was there. You were like, oh, yeah, the pandemic didn't happen here.
Yeah.
Like, tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but, like, yeah, it was like, oh, we're scared for a minute, but then, like, yeah, we'll just move on from that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, like, everybody takes their chances here. I mean, not saying that it's, like, right or even safe or anything,
no.
But it's like...
Just say what it is. It is, that is what, how it feels, and, you know, I only spent 10 days there this year, but it was like, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
It does feel, like, I brought that home with me, and I've told you this off-air before mm-hmm. and stuff, but, like... But, like, I'll be driving, and I'll get mad about someone cutting me off, and I'll just be like, nah, it's Florida.
Exactly.
It is not Florida here.
Yeah.
But if you have that attitude, that approach of, like, that's crazy, and just, like, leave it at that, the kind of the motto of Florida, that's what it should be. That's the Sunshine State. It should be like, eh, it's Florida.
Yeah, pretty much.
life is so much easier.
It really is when you stop worrying about so many extra things that really don't concern you and really
aren't. Like public health.
Yeah, public health. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, what about my health? I need to worry about my health every once in a while. It's like you, I mean, with the driving and everything, I could... When I've been up there in Seattle, I can't tell you how many times that I've actually driven. Like, I've rented a car twice because, hey, public transportation is amazing. Down here, we don't have public transportation. We have car fires everywhere. But if you're up there, you're just driving. I was driving one time and got stuck at a four-way stop because everybody was trying to wave me through. I'm like, I'm just going. I cannot wait.
So true.
And everybody trying to communicate with each other. Like, learn the thing. The left goes. Or no, I'm just going right through. And you know what? You guys can be mad about it, but I won't worry about
yeah.
it ever again.
No, I'm just assertive. I just show up and I'm like, if after one Mississippi, if no one's going, my foot's on that.
There
gap.
You go.
I don't give
exactly.
A crap because otherwise, everyone just sits there forever.
There you go. There's the Arizona, New Mexico all over again. The Southwest Florida.
I feel like this, I see two sides of this implementation that, like, for me, that's like policing people like without the police catching them doing something.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make safety features standard, I would like the, you know, the thing that lights up on your mirror that tells you that there's someone in your blind spot.
Yes.
I think that's so important. It saves lives and it's And it's not like, did you have too many beers? I in no way want people who have had too many beers to drive or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, that's another layer before between you and your decision-making, where you're now ceding over some of your sovereignty to the corporations.
Yeah, it's actually kind of incredible if you think about it, that those little side view indicators, those blind spot indicators, aren't all standard now. Full body airbags aren't all standard now. You've got all that stuff on the, like, people could plow right into you and your car could blow up. You could be caught in a Tesla and just burned to death. But, you know, if there are some people who have alcohol in their bloodstream no matter what. Like, there are people who create alcohol in their bloodstream. I actually had a friend who had to have a medical ID card because their body created alcohol. So if they were to get blood tested, it would come out, like, over the legal limit. So somebody like that, what would they just do? Not even drive?
Like, just hack it out with a screwdriver or whatever.
Exactly. Like, you just kind of do it like, you know, my old friends who, when they had the giant breathalyzer to attach to the starter in their car, you know, you just get the other girl at the bar to blow it for a second, and there you go, your car started.
The judge suggested I get this or whatever, like from the 40-year-old virgin.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, man, I just think that there's got to be a point where sometimes it just gets way too intrusive, where it's not, I mean, while it's got the ideas in the right place of you don't want people driving drunk, you can't full on just it. We can't have Big Brother going as crazy as it wants to go. Otherwise, where's the stop to it?
Yeah, I'm like a big and like when does it become that car company, let's say Tesla, reports you for trying to drive drunk or notices that you've been borderline several times and then reports, like, where they, and there's people out there that study this stuff for real and they actually know the answers to this, but my mind starts looking at where all the potential weak points are and how that would work, and I'm no lawyer or whatever, but it does become pretty scary. And I'm the first to admit that I hand over all of my information every single day with my phone in my hand or whatever,
of course,
but it doesn't feel the same as to be measuring biochemistry every time you try to do something.
It's one thing
standard.
If you're handing over your stuff, you know, like with using your face to open your phone or your thumbprint to open your iPad or whatever else like that or anything. And another thing completely for your car to just be like running a blood test on you. Like where would it stop at that point?
Absolutely. And it's, this is where it gets tough for me because like if you could like, have, you know, 5-10-year-olds a year not be killed in DUI related accidents, then like how principled am I, and like where does this is the perfect thing, the go back to the Twitter argument, that like this is the perfect thing where you don't realize the nuance of life and how it's not. I always get accused of being too black and white in my life, and it's something I'm really trying to work on so I can appreciate that, like, If you say you're going to meet me at 10 o'clock and I'm like, don't be late, and then you're late by 4 minutes, and it's like, well, it's not that big a deal. And I'm like, no, but we had an agreement. You're late. That sucks. And it's like, okay, well, my mom died. Oh, okay. Yeah. There's perspective there, whatever. Trying to learn to be less about that. And so to say, like, no, this is an invasion of privacy. And it's like, well, what if you could save 10-year-olds? Like, I don't care. My privacy is more important. Like, you tell that to the mom or the kid or whatever. Like, it becomes difficult and nuanced.
Yeah, there's a commercial that they run here in Florida all the time. It's one of the most ridiculous commercials. And you can probably find it on YouTube. It's about like it's totally staged. It's a guy walking up to somebody on the street and saying, how many people do you think is okay to be killed on bicycles by cars every year here in Florida? And the guy's like, I don't know, maybe 50. That's a good number. And then all of a sudden 50 of his family members walk out from behind a wall, and he's like, oh no, that's my family.
Nana? No,
he's
not
like,
you, Nana!
Is 50 still okay? No, nobody should be killed. Nobody should. It's like, yeah, it's either enact bicycle laws or we're gonna kill your family.
Yeah, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
Like, because like, really, if the number is currently 5,000 and you get it down to 50, that's like a huge win.
Exactly.
And also, like, some people are morons, and like, that's what happens, is that they ride their bike onto the freeway, and well, like, it sucks for everybody involved or whatever, but like, it's too easy to be like, zero is the acceptable number. Well, that's not practical.
Yeah, exactly. And Brandon, stop riding your bike on the highway.
He's probably in Hawaii right now, just like asleep in his bed with his little legs kicking like a puppy. Like his little legs are pedaling.
It's definitely still there. Early there. He's got, he might actually be on one of those little sunrise tours where he's riding his bike down a volcano.
Oh man, the dream. I don't know if you have burial plans for yourself yet as a 40-something-year-old man like myself, but I've definitely for the last 20 years been like, when I die, throw my body into a volcano. That's like all I ask with my whole life. That's my legacy, is I want Joe versus the volcano, only dead, without any luggage, optional Meg Ryan. And just right in, and that's that, okay? I become just like the stars that turned into the earth. I want to rejoin the magma that builds the building blocks of future life.
First off, literally one of my favorite movies ever, and I've always been telling people to just kick me out of the backseat of a car and I'll roll down into a ditch. Let the nutria eat me in Louisiana. I'll just be out there in New Orleans, Louisiana. I will be taken back and people can use me for voodoo. You know,
awesome, first of all.
I will return to the earth in one way or another.
You were talking about earlier, we were talking about cars catching fire on the side of the road or whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful in Florida. It was Orlando specifically where I was trying to see a, not space shuttle, but SLS launch.
Yep.
It was earlier this year. And like on my way to go to Kennedy Space Center, I'm like driving along in the, what do you call the things on the side of the road where the water is just there and it's like for farming? Oh,
those are just, that's just little canals and stuff like that here.
Yeah, like a canal. There you go. The canals are there. And what do you know? I'm at the right time of day where it's not too hot for the gators. And I see like 30 alligators just like floating in the water. They're like boop boop boop, just being an alligator. And like, yeah, you your car catches fire on the side of the road in the wrong spot, man. You're like alligator chow.
Ah,
which would be awesome.
See, they'll run away because it's a little high. I mean, just a little gator experience here. I mean, from where I am in Miami, and you go across to the west coast of the state in Naples, yeah. There's a straight through road that goes right through Miccosukee Indian Territory, and it's called Alligator Alley, where they had to literally erect fences and bridges over the road, under the road, and along both sides of it, because you're literally going through like the heart of the Everglades, and they will climb out onto the road, climb the fences. There have been plenty of times where I'm hauling ass across there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's just alligators everywhere. You could, if you stop on the side of the road, because it is, there's no lights or anything like that. It's just literally two lanes one way, two lanes another way. And you stop on the side of the road if you like, you know, you have to pee or something like that, and there's just alligators right there in your face.
You know, we're supposed to be talking about tattoos, and we'll get to that here in a little while. But I want you to know that if I ever make it back to Florida for any mischievous behavior, we're getting alligator tattoos. It's happening.
You have Beach so much Fest in December to come to.
What's that?
You have Beach Fest in December to come to.
Okay. I'm going to get the company to send me out. It's one where they might actually foot the bill. Fort Lauderdale Beach, first weekend in December. That would be so badass, and we can get our alligator tattoos.
Yes, sir.
I am so into this.
Yes.
I gotta talk to, I'll talk to my boss on Wednesday and see if we can make it happen, because, yeah, I like... It's weird. It was like I spent, to give people context that haven't been caught up or whatever, I was chasing the SLS launch. And so I was there and they scrubbed and they were going to go again and they scrubbed. It was like, well, I've already been here 5 days and it's only three more until they try again. And my wife was like, well, you're effectively useless at home, so why don't you just stay there for a few more days? And I was like, cool. And I did. And then NASA once again screwed it up, but I missed our family vacation and all these things. But like, I had one of the best times of my life. Thanks for your help also. And one of the things we did is we rode an airboat, which I refuse to call airboat. It's a fan boat.
You can always call it a fan boat. It's only a local thing to call it airboats.
And Cabe Ferrari, our fan boat operator, took us across the Everglades and chased down wildlife for us. And my favorite part is there's an alligator, mama alligator with the nest, so pissed that we're there hissing at us. And then when he leaves, he turns the fan at her and just like cranks it up.
Blaster.
And
the
alligator's like... But like, I gotta think that part of it is like it's pissed, but also it's like that must feel good when it's like a million billion degrees outside and you're a little bit of fan action and you're an alligator and you're, you know, cold blooded, and so you're a million billion degrees too. But so I just have this like super positive impression of like, and at the end we got to hold a tiny alligator, and like That's something that in my youth I would have never, ever, ever done. I would have never held an alligator. And like, nah, I don't give a crap. Life sucks. So let's just go for it. And like, give me all the alligator. It was like the most living I had done in like years, especially after the pandemic and everything.
I'm standing there holding
an alligator with a big dumb grin on my face. Like, it's I know it's a part of who you are, but like for me, it's like amazing.
Yeah, dude. For one of my, honest to God, one of my favorite things. Like, I mean, well, I drove from Miami to Orlando 3 times on that trip because we were just hanging out and just honestly just having a lot of like old school Florida fun, which, yeah, you know, I don't get to do that often like anymore, because when you're from here, you kind of start taking a little bit of it for granted.
Of course.
I mean, I live 2 miles from the beach, and how often am I there? Sometimes it'll be like months in between when I just go walk out in the sand, but like going out on an airboat, doing the gator stuff like that, and like especially with somebody who had never done it before, one of my favorite things, like going back through that photo album we got, is that video of when we're hauling on the airboat, and it just turns to your face and you just got your jaw dropped, like, you know, it's like a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. It's wonderful. I love it.
If anyone does Calvin and Hobbes drawings, I want that. I want that picture of you, me, and Cabe Ferrara, like of that moment. But I want a Calvin and Hobbes style. Maybe I should hit up Watterson and ask him to do it. Like,
yo.
But I want a Calvin and Hobbes style depiction of the three of us on the back of a fan boat. So if anyone is an illustrator to that degree,
I am absolutely. Hit me up. I would get that as a tramp stamp tattoo. Go full Florida.
Speaking of Artemis, go to Florida.
Oh yeah. Hey, speaking of Artemis, did you know that about a week from today they're trying again?
Yeah.
But
obviously you know that I'm torn on the inside. I'm conflicted. It's 6 days away from launch on the 14th. That they're going to try again at midnight to be able to launch this thing in the dark. I don't know. I'm sure. So here's the thing I didn't know about NASA stuff until I talked to you. This all started. We became pals because I was like, hey, you send me videos of rockets taking off and you're in Miami and that's wild. And so like, should I come up there? And you're like, yeah, you want to hang out? I was like, absolutely, I do. And so, yeah, like I came there to see the rocket launch. And so you've seen the daytime and the nighttime and a million billion different launch. I've said that a lot. A lot of different launches over the last however many years. Are the night ones as cool as the day ones?
Listen, I mean, not for nothing. I think the night ones are even cooler. Like, honestly, like what? My two favorite launches was the last Atlantis space shuttle, which I actually saw while I was sitting on a surfboard in the lineup from the ocean. Yeah. And that was just so cool. And the other one was a night launch. I can't exactly remember which mission it was, but I was on top of the Cocoa Beach Surf Company. We were on the roof. It was the building that I showed you with the with the old woody painted cars in front of it. And we're on the roof of that. It's only about 4 floors up.
A1A Beachfront Avenue.
Exactly. And the blast punches you in the chest, and it just goes from so dark, because all you see the shuttle or the rocket, whatever it is, whatever mission it is, just off in the distance. It only looks like, you know, maybe like 3 inches big from where you are, and then all of a sudden because it's all swamp around there too, there's no lights or anything except for directly.
That's what
I'm gonna
start telling women.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just from it only looks 3 inches big because it's from where you are.
Yes. And then just everything lights up. It lights up the entire, like, the Everglades around it, the beach, the water, the sky. It's incredible. It's
You're
just
not making this easier for me.
Well, I mean, if it does make it a little bit easier, I mean, we're actually going to be hit by a storm, probably a hurricane tomorrow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, on Wednesday, actually, there's a Tropical Storm Nicole is sitting, or, well, it might be a tropical depression right now, but Tropical Storm Nicole is supposed to be a hurricane by Wednesday, feeling some effects of it, and it's not going to hit us right here in Miami. It's supposed to be a little bit further north of us, like around West Palm Beach, Martin County, which is halfway between us and the Space Coast. So,
yeah.
I mean, it'd be a little bit heavier winds up there, but right now it's kind of small, so I don't know if they're going to have to wheel it back in and wheel it out again, because, I mean, if they wheel it back in, they were saying, like, the vibrations of that, they might just have to go through the whole thing again.
Oh, yeah. Like, if they wheel it back in, it's not till January that they try it again,
yeah,
right? Like,
at the earliest.
Which is kind of when I want to go back to Florida. I mean, all right. Well, speaking of living in a swamp, we basically got that covered, right?
Yeah.
Something like 15% of all human-generated energy is purely to keep our homes cool during the hot months. And, like, traveling from Seattle to Florida, it was, you know, like you mentioned before, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then I lived in Tucson, and, like, air conditioning is just a thing you have to have, otherwise the humans die. There's just no way around that. Yes. You don't. Some people would live in Florida if you didn't, but it wouldn't be the same numbers if you didn't have air conditioning. So some engineer went and made a clear-ish film for your windows that keeps your place from boiling. It's just a layer of ice that they put on. Now, it's a film that blocks and stops UV and most infrared light from getting through. And that's the stuff that heats up your place. Using it during the summer means you'd feel less melty or save the 10 grand of installing AC at your home. That would be specifically in the Pacific Northwest where there's not a ton of AC.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have to replace yours in Florida and you could have this cool you down, I don't know. Now, the way this works is that I can never remember if it's the infrared or the UV. As it hits the Earth, one of them bounces off the planet and goes back out into space, and the other one can't get back through the atmosphere because of the stuff that we have in the sky. So it's strong enough to get in but can't get out. Thus, you get the warming, the greenhouse effect, yeah, as they call it. You ever walk into a greenhouse and it traps the heat in there? That's what they're talking about. And it's really the Venus effect. That's what they think happened to the planet Venus, where it's now a cool 850 degrees Celsius every single day. So it's to our advantage if we can, you know, keep the Earth livable for the people who live on it. And maybe with just a simple coat of paint on some windows that's clear, you could maybe be able to, like, oh, I don't know. Either that or we build a shield around the Earth, like in Star Wars. I'm not really sure. Do you think that the people of even a third of this planet would accept painting something onto their, you know, places that they live in order to stop this? Or are we too selfish at this point?
I mean, honestly, it comes down to how much it would cost. Like, if you think about it, like, there's plenty of people that would, if it was that cow mucus from last week that prevented HIV and all sorts of other diseases, like, I'm sure people would love to slather it all over themselves and their homes.
Again, how did they learn that? Like, who's out there doing that
research?
I know,
but I'm not telling.
we tried it on gators. It went way worse.
Yes. but, I mean, when I think about, when I hear about it, the only thing I can think of is all those things, like, you remember when we were growing up, how much the ozone was just such a big talking point, like the ozone layer in the South.
Yeah, I just read an article about how, like, the efforts back then were seeing the positive impacts today, that we made such a collective big effort in the mid to late 80s and early 90s that now the ozone, the hole in the ozone isn't nearly as big because we banned the CFCs and whatnot.
And so even with that, like, our temperatures are still rising and everything else. And I'm just thinking about what happens if it's we're creating our own ozone layer for our houses. Like, yeah, it can cool us off, but will it also do the inverse effect of heating us up too much? Like, almost creating, like, that, not quite a greenhouse, but, I mean, you've got that insulation layer where, yes, it'll always be 78 degrees, but that's the hottest or warmest it will get. And you have to deal with it no matter what.
But what are the consequences, too? Like, that's always the thing about all the solutions are, like,
yeah,
what's going to happen? Like, what's going to, like, if we go switch to electric cars, we might not burn fossil fuels the same way, but what happens when we have all those batteries? And I know this is a simple question or simple example, but that's the real question.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it all comes down to, like, which is the less of two evils. And, yeah. I mean, I know with air conditioning, like, just from all of my air conditioning experience growing up and living in Florida, I know that they've changed all the chemicals and everything that they run through it, so they're much, much cleaner, much better for the environment. Yeah. It's tough for me to think, because, like, I don't know, sometimes during the summer I want to crank it down to 60 and I want to be freezing cold in here, and yeah, sometimes during the winter I just want to open up everything and just let it all out, you know? It's a matter of, with humans, we're all about our own choices and being able to make our own decisions and our own outcomes and not worry about
anybody else.
Just not
while we're driving a car drunk. Yeah. Don't drive drunk. That's, I know it's a joking tone, but I don't actually condone it.
Yes. Do not drive drunk. But do open up your houses and let the fresh air in. Can I ask you a question?
No, go ahead, ask me a question.
I've always wanted to do that. Why is it in Seattle that they don't have so many, like, buildings without air conditioning? I would just figure, like, even at this point, like, with all sorts of new construction, that everywhere would
have.
Yeah,
we're there. We're there now. Yeah. Only a third of structures have air conditioning, and a third of homes have air conditioning in Seattle, in the greater Seattle area.
Because I've been visiting there since like 1996, and a majority of the time I'm either in a hotel or a friend's house that does have some form of air conditioning, or it's not like summer. But then my first real summer that I went up there was probably, I don't know, I think it was like 2002, and oh my God, it was over 100 or like around 100 a couple of days. And I was I stayed in a basement because there was no direct sun contact to it. And it felt like 100 degrees in there the whole time. I was just like, how do people live like this?
It's wild, dude. It's wild.
It just blows me away that nobody thought of it
before. The best part of the year in terms of like living in the Pacific Northwest, when it's like longest day, beautiful sunshine.
Gorgeous.
And but it's also 90,000 degrees and my dog is literally just laying on the bed going all day long. And so like we get in the car because there's air conditioning in the car and we go somewhere where there's water because that works. And then like back home and then just back to panting again. So
yeah,
it's crazy. And it's only gotten way worse. And I don't know if this is like a cycle or if it's the global warming and people are just gonna, like, I have air conditioning in my house. It was a housewarming gift because my mother-in-law moved here from Atlanta, yeah. Georgia. And she's like, what are you talking about? You don't have air conditioning. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Exactly. I'll buy it for you. And I was like, done.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's like, you know, like Europe doesn't have a ton of air conditioning, to my knowledge, in terms of, like at the hotels we stayed at, when I've been to Europe, they always have it. But like the people of Europe, the proletariat doesn't have air conditioning. And so like, this is a largely Scandinavian town, or like that's the background to it. And so I think they tend to be tough and tough it out and not have air conditioning because that's not what we grew up. That's not what my grandparents grew up with. And so here we are.
Yeah, right. The way I think about it is, at least with Europe, they have an excuse because their buildings are literally hundreds of years old, like predating even ice. You know, it's like they had no choice. Like their only thing that they could do is put on shutters. And here, I mean, if like, I don't know, I'm 42 years old. I walk out of an air conditioning house into an air conditioning car to go to another air conditioning business to work in an air conditioning vehicle, you know, whatever.
You keep that door slid shut while you're driving and stuff?
My windows are pretty much always shut unless it's like spring or fall, you know? I mean, and we don't even
I'll never understand how you guys do the, like, every time I got in the car in Florida, it would just like completely fog up. And for like 10 minutes, I'd be like, I don't know what to do. Like, why is it so foggy? Why is it like wet on the windows? What do I do?
We get that. It's because we got that humidity and that heat. See, you grew up with the dry heat, so you didn't have to deal with all that stuff.
When people say it's a dry heat, I'm like, yep, it sure is.
Yep. I lived in Colorado for a few years, and the day I left, it was 108 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning, where the soles of my shoes were melting on the asphalt of the apartment complex. I'm like, I just need to get the hell out of here. But it was like so dry. It was so dry, you weren't sweating at all, and like your skin was literally turning to ash. You could brush it off of you. I don't need that. Give me the water. Let me get the sweat. Just let me survive. Yeah,
it's crazy, man. It's the dry heat is so, the nosebleeds, the altitude, the, like, it's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, people that live, like, the heat, no matter where it is, doesn't wacky things to you. That's why Arizona and Florida are so similar, is because the heat just makes you nuts. It's like, it makes one nuts, I should say.
I legitimately think that the direct sunlight onto your skull has something to do with baking your brain. Maybe boiling that, you know, cranial fluid in there, just a little something.
Yeah, there you go. It's not CTE, it's boiled brains.
Boiled brains.
All right, well that brings us to the end of another Eddie episode. Sorry that that's the word choice that I have here, but instead of what did we learn this week, I'm curious, what will we tattoo this week? Siege, any ideas?
I am definitely peeing through a fence with an alligator attacking me.
I can't decide. I can't decide if that's Ren and Stimpy. Don't whiz on the electric fence. Or if it's Calvin and Hobbes, and I'm just going to go ahead and let that simmer for a second.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. I'm looking at the cat story of the petting cats. So I guess I could. I don't know what I would get for that. What would you do for the alcohol impairment detection system? Like, AIDS with a thumbs up or whatever, and like a sensor? Or like, what is that?
I would honestly probably have a lot of people walking. A big thumbs up for hitchhiking.
Drunk
because nobody
walking.
Can start their cars.
Going back to the Florida idea, should we get Wild Willie's?
Oh my god!
Gator tattooed.
That logo was pretty good.
Oh man! And then
we'll get ourselves a fan boat with Captain Cave. Nerd talk, talking
about nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus every weekday morning. Every Tuesday morning, not every weekday. Sorry, I get my shows confused here. Every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., we're streaming on the Odyssey app, and then you have it on demand via the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I cannot say enough thank yous to my very own Florida man, Siege. Thank you so much for joining us,
Anytime,
dude.
Anytime, brother. You got it.
And suck it, Brandon.
Suck it, Brandon.
I hope that you're having a great vacation on your bicycle, ignoring your family.
Ride your bike into a volcano.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, well, speaking of living in a swamp, we basically got that covered, right?
Yeah.
Something like 15% of all human-generated energy is purely to keep our homes cool during the hot months. And, like, traveling from Seattle to Florida, it was, you know, like you mentioned before, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then I lived in Tucson, and, like, air conditioning is just a thing you have to have, otherwise the humans die. There's just no way around that.
Yes.
You don't. Some people would live in Florida if you didn't, but it wouldn't be the same numbers if you didn't have air conditioning. So some engineer went and made a clear-ish film for your windows that keeps your place from boiling. It's just a layer of ice that they put on. Now, it's a film that blocks and stops UV and most infrared light from getting through. And that's the stuff that heats up your place. Using it during the summer means you'd feel less melty or save the 10 grand of installing AC at your home. That would be specifically in the Pacific Northwest where there's not a ton of AC.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have to replace yours in Florida and you could have this cool you down, I don't know. Now, the way this works is that I can never remember if it's the infrared or the UV. As it hits the Earth, one of them bounces off the planet and goes back out into space, and the other one can't get back through the atmosphere because of the stuff that we have in the sky. So it's strong enough to get in but can't get out. Thus, you get the warming, the greenhouse effect,
yeah,
as they call it. You ever walk into a greenhouse and it traps the heat in there? That's what they're talking about. And it's really the Venus effect. That's what they think happened to the planet Venus, where it's now a cool 850 degrees Celsius every single day. So it's to our advantage if we can, you know, keep the Earth livable for the people who live on it. And maybe with just a simple coat of paint on some windows that's clear, you could maybe be able to, like, oh, I don't know. Either that or we build a shield around the Earth, like in Star Wars. I'm not really sure. Do you think that the people of even a third of this planet would accept painting something onto their, you know, places that they live in order to stop this? Or are we too selfish at this point?
I mean, honestly, it comes down to how much it would cost. Like, if you think about it, like, there's plenty of people that would, if it was that cow mucus from last week that prevented HIV and all sorts of other diseases, like, I'm sure people would love to slather it all over themselves and their homes.
Again, how did they learn that? Like, who's out there doing that
I
research?
Know, but I'm not telling.
We tried it on gators. It went way worse.
Yes. But, I mean, when I think about, when I hear about it, the only thing I can think of is all those things, like, you remember when we were growing up, how much the ozone was just such a big talking point, like the ozone layer in the South.
Yeah, I just read an article about how, like, the efforts back then were seeing the positive impacts today, that we made such a collective big effort in the mid to late 80s and early 90s that now the ozone, the hole in the ozone isn't nearly as big because we banned the CFCs and whatnot.
And so even with that, like, our temperatures are still rising and everything else. And I'm just thinking about what happens if it's, we're creating our own ozone layer for our houses. Like, yeah, it can cool us off, but will it also do the inverse effect of heating us up too much? Like, almost creating, like, that, not quite a greenhouse, but I mean, you've got that insulation layer where, yes, it'll always be 78 degrees, but that's the hottest or warmest it will get. And you have to deal with it no matter what.
But what are the consequences, too? Like, that's always the thing about all the solutions are, like,
yeah,
what's going to happen? Like, what's going to, like, if we go switch to electric cars, we might not burn fossil fuels the same way, but what happens when we have all those batteries? And I know this is a simple question or simple example, but that's the real question.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it all comes down to, like, which is the less of two evils. And, yeah. I mean, I know with air conditioning, like, just from all of my air conditioning experience growing up and living in Florida, I know that they've changed all the chemicals and everything that they run through it, so they're much, much cleaner, much better for the environment. Yeah. It's tough for me to think, because, like, I don't know, sometimes during the summer, I want to crank it down to 60, and I want to be freezing cold in here. And sometimes during the winter, I just want to open up everything and just let it all out, you know? It's a matter of, with humans, we're all about our own choices and being able to make our own decisions and our own outcomes and not worry about
anybody else.
Just not
while we're driving a car drunk. Don't drive drunk. That's, I know it's a joking tone, but I don't actually condone it.
Yes, do not drive drunk. But do open up your houses and let the fresh air in. Can I ask you a question?
No, go ahead, ask me a question.
I've always wanted to do that. Why is it in Seattle that they don't have so many, like, buildings without air conditioning? I would just figure, like, even at this point, like, with all sorts of new construction, that everywhere would have.
Yeah, we're there. We're there now. Yeah. Only a third of structures have air conditioning, and a third of homes have air conditioning in Seattle, in the greater Seattle area.
Because I've been visiting there since, like, 1996, and a majority of the time I'm either in a hotel or a friend's house that does have some form of air conditioning, or it's not, like, summer. But then my first real summer that I went up there was probably, I don't know, I think it was, like, 2002, and oh my God, it was over 100 or, like, around 100 a couple of days. And I was I stayed in a basement because there was no direct sun contact to it. And it felt like 100 degrees in there the whole time. I was just like, how do people live like this?
It's wild, dude. It's wild.
It just blows me away that nobody thought of it
before. The best part of the year in terms of, like, living in the Pacific Northwest, when it's, like, longest days,
gorgeous,
beautiful sunshine.
Gorgeous.
But it's also 90,000 degrees, and my dog is literally just laying on the bed going all day long. And so, like, we get in the car because there's air conditioning in the car, and we go somewhere where there's water because that works, and then, like, back home, and then just back to panting again. So
yeah,
it's crazy, and it's only gotten way worse. And I don't know if this is, like, a cycle or if it's the global warming, and people are just gonna, like, I have air conditioning in my house. It was a housewarming gift because my mother-in-law moved here from Atlanta, yeah, Georgia, and she's like, "What are you talking about? You don't have air conditioning? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Exactly.
I'll buy it for you." And I was like, "Done."
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's, like, you know, like, Europe doesn't have a ton of air conditioning, to my knowledge, in terms of, like, at the hotels we stayed at, that when I've been to Europe, they always have it. But like the people of Europe, the proletariat doesn't have air conditioning, and so like this is a largely Scandinavian town, or like that's the background to it, and so I think they tend to be tough and tough it out and not have air conditioning because that's not what my grandparents grew up with, and so here we are.
Yeah, right. The way I think about it is, at least with Europe, they have an excuse because their buildings are literally hundreds of years old, like predating even ice. You know, it's like they had no choice. Like their only thing that they could do is put on shutters. And here, I mean, if like, I don't know, I'm 42 years old. I walk out of an air conditioning house into an air conditioning car to go to another air conditioning business to work in an air conditioning vehicle, you know, whatever.
You keep that door slid shut while you're driving and stuff.
My windows are pretty much always shut unless it's like spring or fall, you know? I mean, and we don't even
understand how you guys do the, like, every time I got in the car in Florida, it would just like completely fog up. And for like 10 minutes, I'd be like, I don't know what to do. Like, why is it so foggy? Why is it like wet on the windows? What do I do?
We get that. It's because we got that humidity and that heat. See, you grew up with the dry heat, so you didn't have to deal with all that stuff.
When people say it's a dry heat, I'm like, yep, it sure is.
Yep. I lived in Colorado for a few years, and the day I left, it was 108 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning, where the soles of my shoes were melting on the asphalt of the apartment complex. I'm like, I just need to get the hell out of here. But it was like so dry. It was so dry. You weren't sweating at all. And like your skin was literally turning to ash. You could brush it off of you. I don't need that. Give me the water. Let me get the sweat. Just let me survive. Yeah,
it's crazy, man. It's the dry heat is so, the nosebleeds, the altitude, the like, it's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. People that live like the heat, no matter where it is, doesn't wacky things to you. That's why Arizona and Florida are so similar, is because the heat just makes you nuts. It's like, it makes one nuts, I should say.
I legitimately think that the direct sunlight onto your skull has something to do with baking your brain. Maybe boiling that, you know, cranial fluid in there, just a little something.
Yeah, there you go. It's not CTE, it's boiled brains. All right, well that brings us to the end of another Eddie episode. Sorry that that's the word choice that I have here, but instead of what did we learn this week, I'm curious, what will we tattoo this week? Siege, any ideas?
I am definitely peeing through a fence with an alligator attacking me.
I can't decide. I can't decide if that's Ren and Stimpy, Don't Whiz on the yes. Electric Fence, or if it's Calvin and Hobbes, and I'm just going to go ahead and let that simmer for a second.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. I'm looking at the cat story of the petting cats, so I guess I can. I don't know what I would get for that. What would you do for the alcohol impairment detection system? Like, AIDS with a thumbs up or whatever in like a sensor, or like what is that?
I would honestly probably have a lot of people walking. A big thumbs up for hitchhiking.
Drunk
because nobody
walking.
Can start their cars.
Going back to the Florida idea, should we get Wild Willie's gator tattooed?
That logo was pretty good.
Oh man. And then
we'll get ourselves a fan boat. With Captain Cave. Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus every weekday every Tuesday morning, not every weekday. Sorry, I get my shows confused here. Every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., we're streaming on the Odyssey app, and then you have it on demand via the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I cannot say enough thank yous to my very own Florida man, Siege. Thank you so much for joining us,
Anytime,
dude.
Anytime, brother. You got it.
And suck it, Brandon!
Suck it, Brandon!
I hope that you're having a great vacation on your bicycle, ignoring your family.
Ride your bike into a volcano.